First Peter chapter number 1 and verse 13. And then we'll go to the second place here in just a few minutes, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It'll be the second place this morning, 1 Timothy 4. But we've been talking on Sunday mornings during the month of November about thanksgiving faith. Amen. Thanksgiving faith. And how that every day of our lives, thanksgiving or not, amen, that we ought to take and live our lives a life of thankfulness to God, amen, for all that He's done for us. And some of you may have wondered all along, and Lord willing, we'll kind of tie this in a little bit better here at the end as we finish this out this morning, this series we've been doing for this month. But some of you may have wondered how this exactly ties into faith, this thing of thanksgiving faith. And we'll kind of close out with that thought, Lord willing, this morning. But you think every day we ought to live our lives thankful to God by faith. Amen. And we've been talking about each week some reasons, if you will, that we ought to live a life of thanksgiving to God. Amen. And thanksgiving to God. And the first thing we said was God's greatness. Amen. Because of His greatness, we should live a life of thanksgiving and thanksgiving by faith to Him. The second thing we said was God's graciousness. Amen. In other words, because of His grace, we ought to be living a life of thanks to Him. And the third thing that we talked about last week was His goodness. Amen. That we ought to be living a life of thanks to Him because of His goodness. And that was the one we said that was the most obvious, I guess you will, of reason that we ought to be living thankfully to the Lord every day and ought to thank God is because what He's done for us. Amen. And that is good and that is true, and we ought to thank God for His goodness. But that's the one that everybody thinks of. Amen. That's the one that you think of, well, I'm thank God because He did this for me or that, and we ought to and we should. And sometimes we're guilty if we're not careful. The Lord answers our prayers and then we never go back to Him and say, Lord, thank You for answering that prayer. Amen. And we shouldn't do that. We always go back and thank the Lord times over. Amen. For answering our prayers and working in whatever it was we were praying for. But this morning we come to the fourth thing, if you will, that we ought to, if you will, live a life of thanks to the Lord for. The fourth reason and the last thing we'll look at. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 13. 1 Peter 1:13, the Bible says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves." Notice that. "Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance." Talking about here that when before we were saved, we fashioned ourselves in a certain way, our lives a certain way. Amen. We went a certain direction. But now that we're saved, we shouldn't go to those former lusts and those former fashions and former things, amen, that we lined our lives up with in our ignorance, amen. We didn't know any better. But now that we're saved and we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to fashion ourselves differently. By the way, our fashion ought to be different, amen, when we get saved too. We can throw that in there. But notice verse 15, it says, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That's not just talking about our words, although it is. It's talking about our lifestyle. Amen. The way that we live our life, the things that we do every day. Amen. Verse 16, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." In other words, the fourth reason, if you will, this morning, the first fourth reason that we ought to be living a life of thanks by faith to the Lord every day is because of His godliness. Because of His godliness. Or, if you want to use another word, His holiness. Amen. His holiness or His godliness this morning. Another word simply that you think about this today, I don't know about you, but one reason we ought to live thankful to God is because we serve a God that is holy this morning. Amen. We serve a God that is godly this morning. After all, if God wasn't godly, then He wouldn't be God. Amen. Kind of goes without saying, right? And if God wasn't holy, He wouldn't be really God either, would He? Amen. Because to be God has to be without sin, perfect, sinless, right? All those types of things we could get into and talk about this morning. But you think about, I'm glad this morning that you and I serve a God that is godly this morning. I'm glad that you and I serve a God this morning that is holy this morning, if you will, in our lives. A lot of people, even as we alluded to and mentioned in Sunday school this morning, a lot of people worship gods that are not real gods, that make things gods in their lives that they worship. They're not holy things. Amen. I think about some of those out there today that worship false gods. I could think about, just to name one, I think about Muhammad or Buddha and these types of things. And you look at some of those gods and their lives, especially some of the things Muhammad did, not being mean, but just being honest this morning and truthful with you, boy, he did some wicked, horrible things. You look at some of the many marriages and different things that he had, and some of y'all, some of us would look at those things, if you study them out and look at them, and we would say, wow, I'm glad I serve a holy God. Amen. A real God, a true living God today. You think about here, we ought to be holy because he is holy. But turn with me now to the second verse, 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, these are our two text verses again this morning that emphasize the fact that we ought to be living a life of thanksgiving because of his godliness or holiness. 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you will, and verse number 6. Verse 6, the Bible says this, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ." I'm going to try to remind you about some of this morning. "Nourished up in the words of faith, and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise," notice that word, we're going to come back to that in a few minutes, "exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto" how many things, church? All things. I can't hear y'all. Let's try it again. "Unto" how many things? All things. Amen. Thank you. All things. Amen. "Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done this morning. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your love. Thank you for salvation, dear Lord, through Jesus Christ. And thank you, dear Lord, that this morning you are a God, dear Lord, that is holy and that is truly godly. And you're the one and true only living God. And dear Father, I pray this morning as we take and look into your word at this last reason, dear Lord, that we ought to be living a life of thanks to you. I pray this reason that most people don't think about or dismiss or try to avoid, that dear Father, instead of us doing that in our lives today, that we would instead look at it, recognize it, appreciate it, and be thankful that you are the holy God that you are. And then that based off of that, we would apply some things to our life as we live a life of thanks to you. Help us this morning. Anoint me, fill me, use me this morning. Open your word and allow your Holy Spirit to do only what you can do in each heart and life that's here this morning. Thank you for all that you've done. If there's one lost, help them to see you and get saved before they leave today. In Jesus' name, amen. You think about this morning, thanksgiving faith, another reason we should live that way is because of his godliness. I mentioned this, that this is probably the least thought about reason when it comes to why I should be thankful to God. You think about this morning, how many times have you ever heard or have we personally, I said we, ever stood up in a testimony time or heard somebody else say, or as you're talking to some believer, said, "Boy, I'm glad we serve a God that's holy." That's usually not something we say, is it? Usually we don't stand up and say, "I'm thankful the Lord's holy and that we serve a holy God and that He wants me to be holy too." That's something we don't say. Instead, we say something like we mentioned last week, which is good and true, that "I'm thankful the Lord saved me. I'm thankful the Lord loved me. I'm thankful the Lord blessed me with this job or blessed me with this or blessed me with my family," and etc. All those things, that's God's goodness. But just as much as we ought to be thankful for those things, we ought to be thankful that we serve a holy, a just, and a godliness, if you will, God this morning. I like what is said here in 1 Timothy. It used this word several times. It started in verse number 7. It said, "Refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." I don't know about y'all. I don't mind exercise, but I don't necessarily do very much of it. You say, why? Well, I guess I do. It's depending on how you look at it, okay? Because I do not necessarily mind to have a time where I say, I'm going to go out and run. Or I'm going to get on a treadmill if I had one. Or I'm going to take and lift weights. I don't have no problem. Yeah, I need to do that. I don't have no problem with all that type of stuff. Amen. Exercising does not bother me. I've never seen the point in it for me in my life, to be honest with you. So you say, why do you say that? Because I exercise and walk so much at work and everything I do constantly all day long that when I get home at the times in my life where I've said before, okay, well, I'm going to start walking or whatever, I feel like, well, I done did this all day. I'm just doing the same thing I done did. I done walked 20 miles. Well, I need to walk 2 more when I get home. What's the point, you know? I done walked already. All I'm doing is making myself feel better, saying not really because it's making me miserable. I got to go walk more. I done exercised all day. It's cool down time now. Y'all know what that is, right? After you, it's cool down time. I worked and exercised all day. Now it's cool down time. Amen. Now, if you got an office job, bless your heart, you need to exercise. Have an exercise time if you're sitting behind a desk all day. But you think about, you know, you just do all kinds of walking and everything else throughout the day. But the word exercise here, we know what the word exercise means, and some of us practice it more than others, and exercise. But the word says here, it uses it in a different way than we usually think about. When we think about exercise, we think about something physical, right? Running, jogging, lifting weights, whatever, etc. Exercise in that way. But the Bible says here, refuse profane and old wise fables, those false fairy tale things, if you will. It says, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. In other words, we ought to be exercising in our lives every day to live a godly, holy life. Amen. You think about today, exercise. I don't know about you, but to me, exercise has some repetition involved in it. Amen. Usually you got 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 things you do, whatever have you, that your exercise routine involves. And you do those things over and over and over and over and over until you get tired of doing them again and again. Amen. Until you give out, if you will. You do those things repeatedly. You think about this morning, we need to exercise thyself rather unto godliness. We need to do these things, practice them, do them every day in our lives. This is what we ought to be seeking after, if you will, in our life. Usually people that exercise, they have a reason they're doing it. Amen. Maybe it's because they want bigger muscles. Maybe it's because they want bigger leg muscles. Amen. Maybe it's because they want their heart to be healthier, right? Maybe the doctors told them, you need to take off a few pounds. Amen. Maybe it's that type of thing. But either way, you think about, you exercise for a reason. And you and I, we ought to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Why? Because we want to please God. We want to bring glory and honor to Him. We want to do what He would have us to do in our lives. And the Bible says we ought to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Verse 8, it says, "But bodily exercise profiteth little." Amen. You think about simply today that, you know, some people exercise a lot with the physical body, and that's great and good, and I'm not knocking that at all whatsoever. That's a great thing to do. But the Bible says that profits just a little. Amen. And I've heard people say a lot of things about this verse. I've heard one group say things like this. One preacher, I heard him one time make the comment about this. He said, well, he said it profits a little, so I ain't going to do none because it don't have much profit in it. And I've heard it preached that way by some people. And then I've heard it preached this way, as I heard one preacher say this one day, and I kind of like this. He said, you know, he said, the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. He said, well, he said, that means, guess what you ought to do? You ought to do a little. Amen. You ought to do a little. You ought to get to doing it. Amen. And so, because there is some profit to it. But notice the next part of the verse, it said, but godliness is profitable unto how many things? All things. The thing I found interesting when I thought about this word all here and exercising and practicing godliness was of how the difference between exercising unto godliness is different than exercising your body. You say, what do you mean? Because if I take today and all I ever do is take and run on the treadmill, am I ever going to have big bicep muscles? No. I can run on the treadmill all day long, but you know what? That's not going to help this right here, is it? I can take, yeah, I know, y'all can tell, can't you? But anyway, you could take this morning, and guess what? You can take and lift weights all day long. All day long. And some of these guys are big and bulky, can lift all them weights, but you know what? That doesn't help when it comes to those leg muscles, does it? You say, why do I say this? Depending on, I know you lift them a certain way. I understand all that, but you know what I'm talking about. But I'm simply saying this morning this, that to get a certain part of the body strong when it comes to physical exercise, you have to do what? Exercise each and every single one of those parts in whatever way it is you're trying to improve it. Whereas the Bible says here that when it comes to the Christian, if you will, it said to it says, but godliness is profitable unto what? All things. That in other words, if you practice godliness and you exercise godliness in your life like the previous verse says that we ought to do, guess what? It's going to affect everything else in your life. All other areas. I don't know about you, but I like that. I don't want to have to get down and do sit-ups, push-ups, stomach crunches, treadmills, run 10 miles, jump this, lift weights for that. All that's great and wonderful, and you got your Richard Simmons routine down that you're doing. Amen? That's great and wonderful. But you know what? I'm glad when it comes to the spiritual that if we take and exercise ourselves to godliness, guess how many things and how many muscles spiritually that affects? All of them. Isn't it amazing today that that's the one thing that the devil takes and attacks in every way nowadays? The one thing that most churches and most preachers and a lot of people nowadays won't mention. Oh, you just do whatever, Lord forgive you. Mm-hmm. No, you need to exercise yourself unto godliness. Amen? You think about there is a such thing as a holy, righteous life that God still desires for us to live today in our lives. And it affects all those other areas. You say, Pastor, I'm having a problem in my life when it comes to music, or I'm having a problem in my life when it comes to the words that comes out of my mouth, or I'm having a problem in this area or that area of my life, my anger problem or whatever. Well, if you just exercise yourself in the godliness, guess what that'll affect? All those things, whatever it is. You think about simply today, we need to exercise to godliness. We're going to talk about this morning just for a few minutes, if you will. Two is all we're going to have time for. I'm just going to give you the third. But I'm going to give you three simple things this morning. Practical ways, you might call them exercise steps if you want to put it that way, the exercise routine. But three simple practical ways and things this morning that you can do, if you will, to exercise yourself to live a life unto godliness or holiness. Three practical things we can do to live our lives unto godliness or holiness. The first thing, if we're going to live a life of thanksgiving by faith to godliness, is we've got to have some exercise going on when it comes to our walking. Amen? To our walking. I don't know about you, but that's probably the most common way that people exercise, isn't it? Walking. Whether it's be hopping on the treadmill, walking around the block. I know Dad used to take religiously all the time, especially when he was active still in the military, and then sometimes after that, walk down to the end of the road and back again, you know, and had all that figured out. But you think about, you have to take and walk our walking. And the Bible has a lot to say about our walking. Amen. It has a lot to say about our walk. And when I say walking this morning in the Bible, a lot of times when it talks about our walk, it's not talking about that right there. Amen. It's talking about the way we live our lives every day. The way that things that we do every day in our lives. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 2. We'll look at a couple verses here for this point. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. We're always familiar with verse 8 and 9, and those are great verses in Ephesians, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse 10 is a great verse too, and we don't need to leave that out either. When it comes to our walking, if we're going to live a life that's of godliness and holiness, we need to have a walk that pleases the Lord, if you will. Verse 10, it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. May I say simply this morning, that you and I, we ought to be walking every day in good works. Amen? We ought to be walking in the good way. We ought to be walking doing good and doing the good works that the Lord would have us to do. You say this morning, but good works don't save me, Pastor. They don't. You're exactly right. Good works do not save us, as the previous verses says. But you know what? Once we're saved to do what? good works for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're not saved by good works, but we're saved to do good works. Amen. And those things bring honor and glory to Him this morning. We ought to be not just saying, well, I'm saved, that's the end of the ball game. Boy, that's the wrong attitude to have there, if you will. But we ought to be saying, I'm saved and I want to honor and please the Lord Jesus Christ every day in my walk. Amen. I want to bring glory to Him. You think about today, our walk should be one unto good works, if you will, realizing that we are the workmanship. I've heard some people take the Greek and describe that word as a trophy. In other words, we're His trophy this morning. Amen. When others take and look at us, they see the handiwork. They see we're the clay, He's the potter. Amen. What are you allowing the Lord this morning to do with your life? You're His workmanship. Amen. This morning. Boy, how we ought to take and let Him mold us and make us and make His will our will. Take my life and let it be. Amen. This morning. Lord, I'm Your workmanship. Make me what You'd have me to be. Make Your will my will, Lord. All those things we sung about a while ago. We're created unto to good works. We ought to do some good works. Amen. Won't get us to heaven, but we ought to do them. Amen. There's some crowns. There's some rewards one day when we get to heaven. Amen. If we do good works and certain things for our Lord Jesus Christ. Our walk ought to be one that's a walk of good works. Notice with me Romans chapter number 13. Romans chapter 13, a good portion of Scripture here that talks about our walk, if you will. If we're going to please the Lord this morning, if we're going to live a life of thanksgiving faith to God, we ought to live this life because of His godliness. And our walk should reflect His godliness, His holiness. As we seen the verse a while ago, be holy, for I am holy, the verse said. Notice Romans 13 in verse number 11. It says, and that knowing the time, and we've talked about this verse before in the past and preached from it. And knowing the time that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Boy, the Lord's coming back soon, any minute. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us, those of us that are saved, that are believers, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantingness, not in strife and envy. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You see here in these verses again, it's talking about in verse 13, it told us how we ought to walk. Amen. And He also told us in these verses how we ought not walk. Amen. According to those former lusts. That other verse we read earlier kind of mentioned and talked about that former conversation, those former lusts too. Amen. When we get saved, things ought to change. Amen. Things ought to change. Our walk ought to change once we get saved. Amen. Not our physical, but our spiritual walk. The way that we do things in our lives, it ought to change because our hearts changed. Amen. And I believe that a person that truly gets saved, not that it'll be an overnight, boy, you drop everything bad in your life. You don't never cuss again. You don't never drink or smoke or whatever you may have had issues before. You don't never listen to a bad song again. I'm not saying none of that. And you go, and if you got bad hair, you get it done right. And I'm not change your clothes and throw your wardrobe in the trash can. I'm not saying none of that. But in time, as the Lord works on you, there'll be some change in your life. Amen. As you grow in Him. You think about simply saying this morning that we ought to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, walk in Him, make no provision to fulfill the lust of this flesh, if you will. Instead, we ought to be exercising ourselves to godliness. Amen. As the verse said previously, we ought to be walking and living to fulfill the Lord's will. I don't know if y'all thought about this before, but don't take me wrong, but the Lord brought this to my attention this week, this thought of walking. You think about some people walk differently than others. Amen. You ever notice that? It's amazing sometimes to sit back and to watch how people walk. Some people walk bow-legged, don't they? For various reasons. Some of them physical, you know, the way they are, they can't help it. Some people walk with a limp all the time, don't they? Because of something with their foot or whatever. Some people just walk fast all the time. Some people walk slow all the time. Amen. You look at different ways that people walk, and it's interesting to watch how people walk differently. But you think about the spiritual walk today. Some people walk certain ways to get attention drawn to themselves, don't they? I wonder today, how are we walking? You say, what do you mean? The thing the Lord brought to my attention here is, I believe our walk, a lot of times in our life, says who we're trying to draw attention to. Sometimes we walk only to draw attention to who? Ourselves. Some people, why they dress the way they do and fashion themselves the way they do with the clothes they wear all the time is because who are they trying to draw attention to? Themselves and a lot of times certain parts of their body. But I ask you this today, we as believers, who are we walking and trying to draw attention to in our lives by our walk? Are we walking trying to draw attention to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, there's something different about that fellow? Why would they say that? Because your walk's different. There's something different about that girl. She don't walk the direction the world does. She don't do those things. There's something different. That's what exercising to godliness it'll do. It'll cause your walk to be different than the world. It'll cause you to want to draw attention to the Lord rather than the things of this world or to yourself. You think about this morning, we should walk like Christ did. Amen. I don't know how Christ walked physically. Have no clue. Didn't see Him walk. Amen. I have no clue in what way He walked, of those ways I named or any other. But He had a walk. But spiritually, you can look in God's Word and you can see how He walked. I believe today that if we want to live a godly life, we need to fashion our walk after the Lord Jesus Christ. His walk here on earth was always one that was looking at other people and about other people, not about Himself. It wasn't centered on drawing attention to me. It wasn't centered on drawing attention to what do I need or what do I want, but it was always on those around me. I've said this many times, and I'll say it a million more times if the Lord gives me those times to say it, that one of the most impressive sayings to me that I always see that Jesus said in the New Testament, that the Bible says, as He looked out on the multitudes and says this several times, He was moved with compassion. And that's the way you and I ought to be every day. We ought to be moved with compassion. That's the way His spiritual walk was. It was one that when He saw, He was moved with compassion for the lost of this world. He was moved with compassion. He saw them as sheep having no shepherd. Amen. You think about today of how the walk, how's your walk today? Are we walking a life of thanks living to God every day? In our mouth, the words that we used, the things that we listen to every day, and the things that we say, the things that we do, and the way that we share the gospel. Jesus, everywhere He went, was telling people about who He was and sharing with people the good news. Amen. You think about today, how about mine and your life? How is our walk today? But turn